I would like to turn to the book of the Acts this afternoon, and first of all, the 9th chapter. The 9th chapter and the first verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And then if you turn to the last chapter of the book of the Acts, and the 30th verse. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Well, brethren, there's approximately 30 years between these two verses that we've read this afternoon. And in those 30 years, the beloved Apostle Paul was in the school of God. And we find it in the book of the Acts, there are a number of lessons that are brought before us in connection with the Apostle Paul. 7 in particular. 7 times in the book of the Acts, we find the Apostle Paul stopping for extended periods of time. And it seems to my own soul that in these accounts that are given of these stops in the life of the Apostle Paul, we have some very real lessons for us in connection with the school of God. You know, brethren, we are all in the school of God, and we never get out of it until we get home to glory. And we have a very patient and loving teacher, one who loves us and cares for us, and with patience and in love seeks to train us in the way that he would have his servant to be in this world. And we see that he starts off with material like the Apostle Paul, who, as Saul of Tarsus, is breathing out threatenings and slaughter. We see him start off with a man who is determined that he is right, a man of importance who has been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, a man who is commissioned by the rulers of the synagogue, and a man who is so opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ that he goes about trying to find anybody of this way with a view to bringing them bound to Jerusalem. 30 years later, that same man is living in his own hired house in Jerusalem, receiving all that come in unto him, making known, preaching the kingdom of God, and doing it with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, what has transpired in the meantime? Well, let's go back to the 9th chapter of Acts for a moment. The 9th chapter of Acts and the 17th verse. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And there immediately fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Now, I'd like you to turn to two other passages, if you will. First of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Then if you go on to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. We find, brethren, in the life of the Apostle Paul, that when he was saved in Damascus, he immediately, it tells us, preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, there is no doubt a special application of this truth that the Apostle Paul was bringing out. But I think there is a very precious and simple lesson for us as well. The Apostle Paul, once he was saved, simply bore testimony to what he knew. He told what he knew. You see, the Apostle Paul had been trained in the Jews' religion. He knew all about the Messiah. And now he had discovered something wonderful. The Lord Jesus was the Messiah. That he was the Christ, the Son of God. And so he simply made known what he knew. And beloved saints of God, that's the privilege of every one of us. We don't need any training. We don't need to go to Bible college just to make known to others what the Lord has made known to us. How precious. A soul gets saved last night, and today he can go to someone else and say, the Lord Jesus died for me. I found that out last night. The Lord Jesus bore my sins on the cross. I discovered that last night. What a precious thing to simply be able to tell, as Paul does here, what the Lord had done, who the Lord was, what he knew. But then we find that the Apostle Paul spent 3 years, 3 years away, probably the 3 years in Arabia. We find the 3 years mentioned in Galatians chapter 1. There's a time gap in Acts chapter 9. Perhaps I should draw it to your attention. In Acts chapter 9, between the 22nd and the 23rd verses, it says that he confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. It appears from Galatians that this is the time when he went off to Arabia and then came back to Damascus. Now, why? What was it that Paul had to learn? Well, I suggest, brethren, and I simply suggest it. It's been a voice to my own soul. But what Paul had to learn in this first period, we might call it grade one in the school of God. What the Apostle Paul had to learn, that while he was a great man in the Jews' religion, while he had a great position in the synagogue, while he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, that in the family of God, he had to learn that he was nothing. He had to learn that he was nothing. He had to learn what it was to come down. And you know, I think it seems to my own soul that it's brought out so beautifully that when the Apostle Paul had had those years in Arabia and he comes back to Damascus, there it is that when the persecution arises, we're told that he was let down over the wall in a basket. I remember many years ago, I would think it must be 25 years ago, I heard a dear brother, and I never forgot it, because he just made the comment in passing, but he just made the comment to the effect, he said, to the effect, have we learned the lesson of going over the wall in a basket? Have we learned that lesson? The lesson of coming down. You notice here in Acts chapter 9, it says, the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. This was the Apostle Paul. This was the one who had come to Damascus with letters of authority. This was the important man who had come to Damascus 3 years before. And here he was now going over the wall in a basket. Made nothing. Brethren, it's a vital lesson for us in the school of God. In a sense, the teaching begins here, to learn that we are nothing in ourselves. You know, we love to be hauled up to the top of the wall. Oh, it's no difficulty at all. We'd love to have the saints exalt us and the Lord's people put us up on top of a wall and make something important out of us. But to be let down over the wall in a basket. Now we find that when we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul uses this in connection with glorying in his infirmities, in the very things that made nothing of him. When he goes on into the next chapter, he speaks about the thorn in the flesh that was given to him lest he be puffed up. Not because he was puffed up, but to keep him from being puffed up. And it's in that connection, glorying in his infirmities, in those things that exalted Christ and made nothing of the Apostle Paul, that he brings in the account of going over the wall in a basket. Well, brethren, there isn't any one of us here, certainly not the speaker, who doesn't have that flesh in him that longs to be important, that wants to have a name, wants some kind of a place. I remember a brother years ago made the comment, he was quoting an older brother who had said one time that when he got saved, before he got saved, he wanted to be an important man in the world. And after he got saved, he wanted to be an important man amongst the people of God. And he had to find out that both were wrong. Both were wrong. Because as we had last night, the Lord alone is to be exalted. The Lord alone, in all things, he must have the preeminence. Well, so it is that this first lesson in the life of the Apostle Paul is the lesson of going down. Going down. Oh, brethren, are you and I willing to be nothing? Willing to be nothing. To have the world think nothing of us. Not to seek for any kind of a position at all, just to be a servant of Christ and nothing in the eyes of men, nothing even in the eyes of our brethren, just to be a servant of Christ. Well, we find that there were 3 years involved here. I think of these years, these accounts in Acts, something like the word Selah in the book of the Psalms. You know, over and over again, you find the word Selah. What it means is pause and consider. Well, we have to pause and consider the lesson. Pause and consider, first of all, the lesson of Arabia. It's often been said that Moses required 40 years in the backside of the desert to learn to be nothing, and Paul needed 3 years in Arabia to learn to be nothing. They had both been important men when God called them to himself. Well, now if we go on, we find in the 27th verse, or the 26th verse, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, that's Acts 9 and 26, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Now, every one of the accounts that are given of these long stops in the life of the Apostle Paul, each one of the seven is identified by a number of years, either a year, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, except for one, and that's this one at Tarsus. It would appear that Paul spent perhaps 8 years or more quietly at Tarsus. He had gone up to Jerusalem, Galatians tells us that, and Acts chapter 9, and after he had had that time at Jerusalem, he was taken to Tarsus, and there he is, quietly remaining at Tarsus. You know how when you go through the book of the Acts, Peter appears on the scene again, and we have the account of Peter being used to bring in the Gentiles through Cornelius, the testimony of Peter, some of the miracles that he did. In the meantime, Paul is shown as quietly living at Tarsus, and we don't know another thing about these years. They're what you might call silent years in the life of the Apostle Paul. And as I say, historically, it would appear as if perhaps it was 8 years or possibly more that he spent at Tarsus. Now, what are these years? Well, I suggest to you, and I suggest to my own soul, that they are vital years. And perhaps I can address my remarks to our young people here this afternoon particularly. How important these years at Tarsus are, where the Apostle Paul was learning the truth of God. You know, dear young people, I commend this precious book to you, and I trust that you are, words addressed to Timothy, studying to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To have the years at Tarsus to learn, to study, to grow in the things of God. You see, the Apostle Paul needed these years. The Spirit of God gives us to see that these years of quietness were spent at Tarsus. And it was from Tarsus that Paul is called forth for his next labor for the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute. Not for 1 minute do I suggest that Paul wasn't doing anything for the Lord at Tarsus. He'd already shown that at Damascus he could immediately make known that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. And so it is that in the years that the Lord uses to instruct us in the things of God, to grow, oh, brethren, to grow. You know, the Word of God says, not a novice. In responsibility in the assembly, it says, not a novice, lest he be puffed up, lest he be exalted, lest he have seek to have a place. I remember years ago a young man who got saved, and the moment he was saved, I don't think it was more than 3 weeks that he was exhorting in the assembly, and he was taking a big part in seeking to teach his brethren, and it wasn't more than 2 years later that he had left the Lord's table. He had simply gone off into the world. Now, he hadn't learned the lesson of Tarsus, the time of quietness to learn. Now, again, I want to emphasize, some of us were talking a little bit last night about this. That doesn't mean that you cannot be used of the Lord, that you cannot make known to others what the Lord has given you, shown you from His Word. And it certainly doesn't mean that you can't, for instance, offer a word of praise or thanksgiving. It doesn't mean that you can't pray in the prayer meeting and just let your voice be heard speaking to the Lord Jesus. All precious things. There's no such thing as a gift of prayer or a gift of praise. It's a matter of the heart's response overflowing. But when it comes to responsibilities in the assembly, when it comes to being a teacher, when it comes to seeking to have oversight in the assembly, these years at Tarsus are very important. Very, very important to learn. And oh, beloved brethren, and I say this to our young people particularly, don't waste those years. Don't waste those years at Tarsus. Because the time is going to come, as we'll see in a moment, when you're going to be called upon to assume a responsibility, to be a help to your brethren. And if the years have been well spent at Tarsus, then you'll have learned those lessons in the school of God that will then fit you for the work that the Lord will call you to. We turn on now to the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter and the 20th verse. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now we find that the Apostle Paul has spent these years at Tarsus. The work of God has gone on, and souls have been saved in Antioch. Barnabas has gone and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. But now he goes for Saul. Now he goes to bring Saul. Saul has had those years at Tarsus. And now the Lord has a work for him to do, and he's called out from Tarsus to go to Antioch, and there we have another Selah, a time of pause. He spends a whole year at Antioch. Now, brethren, I don't want to allow my imagination to run riot in these things, but it seems to me that the school of God is very, very similar in many ways to the school that many of us are already familiar with. Because you know, when we go to school, we have lessons, we have instruction, and then we have tests to see how well we've learned the instruction, and then we see the results of what we've learned put into practice and what flows from it. Now, in the school of God, Paul had already had what you might call the first and second lesson. The first lesson in Arabia, learning to be nothing. The second lesson at Tarsus, perhaps learning the truth of God, the things of God, growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now the time comes when he's called. Barnabas seeks for him to come to Antioch. And now we have the test and the results. The test, the Apostle Paul is able to teach. Able to teach. Brethren, I submit to you that Paul was a chosen instrument, but before he could teach at Antioch, he needed the years at Tarsus. The Lord didn't take him from the ninth chapter of Acts. The Lord didn't take him from there and move him right into Antioch as a teacher. He had to have those years at Tarsus. But now he's ready, he's used, and he teaches. It says, the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now, brethren, again, I suggest to your heart and especially to mine, what will be the result of ministry that comes from a servant who has learned, at least in measure, that he himself is nothing and has profited in the school of God from what the Lord would teach him from the Word? What will be the result? Why, it says here that they were called Christians first at Antioch. Oh, how that speaks to one's own soul. How many people there are, how many men there are today, and they're responsible to the Lord. But it's a sad thing, brethren, when you see a work going on where much is made of the workman, where someone is identified by the workman, called by some other name that identifies them with the workman. Can I put it this way? I suggest to you that if Paul hadn't learned in measure what the 3 years in Arabia had to teach him, the result would have been at Antioch that there would have been followers of Paul. There would have been those who would have made much of Paul. But the 3 years in Arabia, the letting down in the basket over the wall, the learning, brethren, that we are nothing in ourselves, and then the years at Tarsus resulted in the Apostle Paul being able to teach, and the result being that they were called Christians first at Antioch. You know, Christian simply means Christ's ones or followers of Christ. And they were identified with Christ, not with Paul. Do you remember in the first chapter of John's Gospel how John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God"? And those who heard him left John and followed Jesus. And that's what true ministry will always do. It will never attract to the servant, but it will always attract to Christ. Always attract to Christ. So it was here. The Apostle Paul, we pause, we consider, what has happened here? For a whole year, the hearts of the saints of God are refreshed, they are instructed, and they are identified with Christ. They follow him and not the Apostle Paul. Well, now if you would turn over with me to the 16th chapter. The 16th chapter and the 6th verse. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, if you'll go on to the 19th chapter. The 19th chapter and the first verse. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And then the 8th verse. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing or reasoning daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. The 18th verse. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now we find the Apostle Paul in the 16th chapter. He has been on missionary journeys. He's been back to Antioch. He's been up to Jerusalem. But now the time comes in the 16th chapter when he purposes to go to Asia. But it says he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Then it says that he essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now, beloved brethren, here's the next lesson in the school of God. And that is how vital it is that we submit to the Lord's direction in our lives. And I believe that we have a very important lesson here in connection with Asia, because Paul, without a doubt, had a love for souls and an earnest desire to see souls saved and blessed. And so it is that he wants to go to Asia, but the Spirit of God said no. He was forbidden to go to Asia. That, I might say, is the province of Asia, not the continent of Asia. He was forbidden to go to Asia. Now, the next thing we find is that he is directed to go to Macedonia. And I might say this was the introduction of the gospel of the grace of God into Europe. He's directed to go into Macedonia. And he submits to the Lord's leading. And brethren, when we follow him here in the 16th chapter of Acts, we find that he arrives at Philippi. He goes down to the riverside where prayer is wont to be made. And the first soul that is saved is a woman from Asia. Now, brethren, that is a voice to my own soul. You know, the Apostle Paul had a love for souls. And I trust that you have a love for souls, and I pray that I'll have a love for souls too. But don't let us ever think for one moment that we love souls more than the Lord does. Don't let us think for one moment that souls are more important to us than they are to Him. And the Lord taught Paul a vital lesson here, and I trust for ourselves too. Because Paul could look at that woman and find out she's a woman of Thyatira, a woman from Asia. Thyatira was one of the seven cities in Asia that's referred to in Revelation chapter 1. And so here the Apostle Paul can look and see, if I could put it this way, the Apostle Paul could say, I wanted to go to Asia. The Lord said, no, go to Europe. And I've come to Europe in submission to the Lord's direction, and He's given me a soul from Asia. Oh, the Lord loved that woman, Lydia, and He opened her heart to receive the gospel. And beloved brethren, if you and I are to be used of the Lord, how important it is that we submit to the Lord's direction. Not be governed by our own motives, our own desires, but to learn in the school of God that it's vital that we get our direction from Him, according to the Word of God, directed of the Lord. Well, what happened? We find that when the Apostle Paul waits upon the Lord, when we come to the 19th chapter, the time comes when the Apostle Paul is sent to Ephesus. And in Ephesus, he preaches. And he spends 2 whole years at Ephesus. And you notice in the 19th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Was the Lord's time the right time? Indeed it was. The Lord sent Paul at the right time, and everyone in Asia heard the word of the Lord. And many of them were saved. Why it says in the 18th verse, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. There was real blessing when Paul submitted to the Lord's direction, went where the Lord sent him, and when the Lord sent him. Now notice 2 other things. It says in the 9th verse, and when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. An important lesson. Brethren, it never, never is the mind of God to get into arguments with people. If they oppose themselves, you present the truth and leave it. Leave it. You know, the old worldly axiom, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. It also applies in the things of God. You cannot compel anyone to come into the kingdom of God. And God has to reach the conscience. God has to work by His Spirit. So you and I present the truth and leave it. The Apostle Paul presented the truth, and when they opposed, he left. He departed. He didn't stay there to argue. He parted. He went into the school of Tyrannus. And there he continued to reason to all those who were interested, all those who came to him. He would present the truth to them. So the word of God says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. But the Apostle Paul, directed of the Lord, in the place where the Lord wanted him, when the Lord wanted him there, submitting, the Apostle Paul was nothing. So he wasn't going to try to prove how well he was able to argue. He just left them with the truth of God. And what's the result? Many believe. And furthermore, it says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Oh, brethren, if I could put it this way, it's as if the Lord says, I want to put a special stamp of approval on what my servant is doing here. Submitting to the Lord's direction, just being where the Lord wanted him, when the Lord wanted him. And many, many were saved and proved that they were saved, showed what they that they had been delivered from by burning their books of curious arts. Now let's go back. We'll come back to this chapter in a moment, but I'd like to go back now to the 18th chapter for a moment. The first verse. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And then we go down to the 8th verse. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Now, brethren, here we might see the next lesson in the school of God. And that is that the Lord is over every circumstance in our lives. The Apostle Paul was at Corinth, and he has a vision. He had had a vision, if you remember previously, back in the 16th chapter, and that vision said, go to Macedonia. And he submitted, and he went. And we see the blessing that flowed from it. And when the Lord said, don't go into Asia, he submitted. And the time came when he was directed to go into Asia, and we saw the blessing that flowed from it. And we saw the Lord's stamp of approval put on what Paul did. But now we find that he's in Corinth. And here, when he's in Corinth, he has a vision. And this vision, the Lord appears to Paul in a vision and says, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Now we pause and consider. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. We pause and consider. The Apostle Paul was told not to be afraid. The Lord was with him. Oh, brethren, have we learned that lesson? Have we learned that lesson? I say that to my own heart. Have we learned that lesson? I am with thee. I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And then the Lord gives him to see what the Lord meant. Because the time comes when Paul is brought before Gallio's judgment seat, the deputy of Achaia, brought him to the judgment seat. And then it says in the 14th verse, And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. Did the Apostle Paul have to say anything? Not a word. He didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to present an argument to Gallio. The Lord had said, I'm with you, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. The Lord had a work to do for the Apostle Paul in that city, and no one was going to stop it. No man could stop it. The Lord wanted Paul there, and Paul was there for 18 months. And brethren, we learn a very important lesson again in the school of God. If God opens the door, no man can shut it. No man can shut it. The exercises, the previous lesson, where does the Lord want me to be? But if the Lord wanted Paul in Corinth, no one could close that door. And he had said to Paul that he would be with him, that no one could hinder him, no one could hurt him, And Paul learned what it was. It has struck me in meditating on this to think of the Apostle Paul. It says, when Paul was now about to open his mouth, he was just ready to defend himself. And the Lord proved what he meant. The Lord was over it all. Now, brethren, we noticed in connection with what we might call grade one and grade two, the learning to be nothing, studying to prove ourselves, studying to show ourselves approved unto God, and then called of God to the work of a teacher at Antioch, and the result of ministry that flows from having learned those first two lessons is that the heart of God's people is attracted to Christ. Now we see the next two lessons. Lesson, we might call it 4 and 5. Lesson number 4 that we find is how vital it is that we be before the Lord as to where he wants us to be directed of the Lord, to not be guided by our own motives, our own thoughts, our own desires, but what does the Lord want? And secondly, or the fifth lesson, to realize that the Lord is over every circumstance. Every circumstance. Not to think for one moment that we love souls more than he does, but to love souls. Amen. To desire to see the gospel go out. Amen. But to be directed of the Lord. And, as we see here, to do so in the confidence that the Lord is over all. That he's the one who can keep a door open that he has opened up. Now let's go on and see if Paul has learned this lesson. You and I might very well think for a moment that surely he had learned the lesson. Let's go back to the 19th chapter for a moment. The 21st verse. It's now come to the testing time. The 21st verse of the 19th chapter. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, that is, in his spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now, if you go on to the 21st chapter, and the fourth verse, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now let's pause there for a moment. Brethren, the Apostle Paul had been given to see that when there is submission to the Lord's direction, going where the Lord wants, when the Lord wants, there is blessing. Now the test comes. As we'll see in a moment, I believe the Lord had brought before Paul the thought of going to Rome. But Paul says, and oh, how this speaks to my own heart, Paul says, after I have been to Jerusalem, I must also see Rome. Do we ever find ourselves using that kind of a language? The Lord lays something on our hearts. There's something that we feel the Lord would have us do for him. And after we've done something that for ourselves, then we'll do what the Lord wants. Well, that's what we have here. The Apostle Paul had this thought of going to Rome. And we'll see in a moment that that thought was from God. But he wanted to go to Jerusalem. And from this moment on, I draw your attention to it. In the 19th chapter and the 18th verse, it says, many that believe came and confessed and showed their deeds. Then we have the test. The Lord saying, go to Rome. Paul saying, I want to go to Jerusalem, and then I'll go to Rome. And from this point in the book of the Acts, until you come to the 28th chapter, you don't read of another soul being saved. Not another soul being saved. This is the last time that we find the word, it speaks of those who believed, until you come to the 28th chapter. Now, brethren, the path of blessing is the path of obedience and submission to the Lord's direction. So we find that the Spirit of God says, don't go to Jerusalem. Now turn over with me, please, to the 23rd chapter. Paul has gone to Jerusalem. He has concurred with James and others there in a path of that was really a path of compromise instead of standing for the truth that he had known. And the result is that there is tumult and insurrection, and Paul ends up in jail. Now we come to the 23rd chapter and the 11th verse. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Now, we had noticed earlier that the Lord had brought before Paul Rome. Now the Lord says to Paul here, while Paul is in jail in Jerusalem, "Paul, you're going to Rome. You must bear testimony of me in Rome." But isn't it lovely to have it recorded that the night following, the Lord stood by him? The servant that had gone to Jerusalem in spite of the Spirit's direction not to, the Lord didn't give up his servant. The Apostle Paul was about to learn a very painful lesson in the school of God, but the Lord stood by him. The Lord's eye was upon his servant. And now he gives him a lesson, a further lesson. He says, "You're going to Rome. As you have borne testimony of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And immediately, brethren, comes the test. Notice it, please. The 12th verse. "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him.' And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, 'Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him.' So he took him and brought him to the chief captain." And then without reading it all, you go down to after he tells the captain the story, the 22nd verse. "So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, 'See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me.' And he called unto him two centurions, saying, 'Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. And provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor.'" The 31st verse. "Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they were came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him." And then if you go to the 24th chapter and the 27th verse. "But after 2 years Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." Now, brethren, the Apostle Paul was where he was not supposed to be. The Spirit had said not to go. The Lord stood by him and told him that he was going to Rome. And then he presented the test again. And the test was, did Paul believe what the Lord had said? And so the young man comes with this report. There are soldiers, 40 of them, at least enemies, 40 of them, who are waiting to kill Paul on the road. Now, back in earlier in the book of the Acts, when we read back in the 18th chapter, Paul hadn't had to say a word. Oh, it was such a wonderful lesson. Paul, God had said to Paul in a vision, "No man can hurt thee." Now Paul learns that he's going to Rome. But when the test comes, and how this speaks to one's own heart, the test comes, there are enemies lying in wait on the road. What does the Apostle Paul do? He appeals to the soldiers. He presents his case to the chief captain. And the chief captain provides an army, 500 soldiers to protect Paul. Brethren, God had said, Paul, you're going to Rome. It didn't matter whether there was 40 or 400 or 4,000 men on that road. The Lord had said, Paul, you're going to Rome. And just as Paul had been shown earlier, he didn't even have to open his mouth. But he appeals to the soldiers. And the result is that in these two tests, test number one, the Lord saying, go to Rome, Paul saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. Test number two, the Lord saying, in effect, Paul, I'll look after you. Paul calls upon the soldiers for protection. We see a lesson for our own hearts. Brethren, the Lord teaches us these things in the school of God. But have we learned the lesson? Have we learned that the Lord is over the circumstances? Have we learned what it is to submit to the Lord's direction? Never, never let a love for souls, never, never, brethren, let a love for the people of God lead you or I in a path that's contrary to the Word of God. Now, what's the last? Our time is gone. The last lesson in the life of the Apostle Paul, I'm going to pass over it very quickly. I think it's familiar to most of us. But we find that the Apostle Paul, he makes an appeal to Caesar. And he has to be told to Caesar he would go. And the result of his appealing to Caesar is that when Agrippa comes, Agrippa hears his case and says he might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. He took his case out of the Lord's hands in an outward way and put it in the hands of Caesar. And the result is he goes to Rome. But when we come to the 27th chapter, brethren, and it's a chapter I'm sure we've all enjoyed, when we come to the 27th chapter of Acts and the 23rd verse, it says, the Apostle Paul speaks and says, the 22nd verse. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. And now if you go down to the 34th verse. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. The 44th verse. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. So it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Oh, brethren, had the Apostle Paul learned in the school of God the lesson the Lord wanted to show him? Indeed so. And you know, it's brought before us in such a remarkable way. Because the Lord had appeared to Paul in a night, in a vision, and said, you must bear testimony of me in Rome. And Paul didn't lay hold of the promise at all. But on the ship, the lesson is repeated, and oh, how often the Lord has to go over lessons with us again and again and again. How many times, brethren, you and I say it for myself, the Lord has shown us things, and we failed to grasp them, and He's shown them again, and we failed to grasp them, and He's gone over the lessons again and again in our lives. But we find He repeats the lesson again to the Apostle Paul. He tells Paul again, you must be brought before Caesar. He had said earlier, you've got to go to Rome. Now he says, you've got to stand before Caesar. When he gave the lesson back in the 25th chapter, what did Paul do? He said, send for the soldiers. When we come to the 27th chapter, what does Paul do? He stands up and says, I believe God. I believe God. Oh, brethren, what a lesson to learn. I believe God. And you know what is so precious to my own soul? That previously, when Paul failed the lesson, he relied upon the soldiers. When he learned the lesson and believed God, God used Paul to save the soldiers. Not the soldiers to save Paul, but he used Paul to save the soldiers. Paul could stand there and say, "You won't lose a hair from your head. Not a hair." What a lesson. The Apostle Paul had to learn that the Lord wanted him in Rome. And here he submits. He's going to Rome. He's going to Rome. And what's the result? The result is the verse that we read at the beginning of our meeting. The 28th chapter and the 30th verse. Paul dwelt 2 whole years. Pause and consider again. The last stop. 2 whole years in his own hired house. And received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Here's the servant. Oh, brethren, here's the man that's been let down over a wall in a basket. Learned in a sense what it is to be nothing. He's a prisoner of Nero in Rome. If I could call it that, the lowest possible status. A prisoner of the tyrant Nero in Rome. He's come a long way down over that wall in a basket. He's learned something else too. You notice it says, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. The Lord provided what his servant needed. All that was needed, provided. Whatever it cost to rent that house, to provide that house, the Lord provided it for him. The next thing it says is, and received all that came in unto him. Oh, the Apostle Paul, submitting to the Lord's direction, was his usefulness over? Indeed not. The Lord brought to him those who had a need, receiving all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Brethren, this is the man that had appealed for soldiers. This is the man that wanted the chief captain to be told so he could be protected from his enemies. But he's learned the lesson in the school of God. And here he is, dwelling in the midst of that Roman Empire, at the seat of authority for the cruelest tyrant perhaps this world has ever seen. And he's there with all confidence. No man forbidding him. The Lord opened the door and no one could shut it. No one could shut it. Brethren, we go through these accounts in the book of the Acts. And I trust it speaks to our hearts. I trust it speaks to mine. The Lord wants us to, as Paul, trust him. To be where the Lord wants us, when the Lord wants us there, submitting to his direction, guided by his word, learning the lessons that we see in these episodes in the life of the Apostle Paul. Have we been to Arabia? Have I been to Arabia? What about those necessary years at Tarsus? Willing to be directed, used of the Lord, not to attract to self, but to attract to Christ. Learning by God's grace to trust him for direction and for providing for our every need. To keep a door open that he's open, knowing that no man can shut it. The Lord has opened it. And learning, brethren, the danger of wasted years. Paul had to spend 2 whole years in Caesarea, learning, in a sense, the consequences of going up to Jerusalem. And lastly, the 2 whole years in Rome, learning how the Lord was able, the Lord could use him, the Lord could bless him, the Lord could use him in blessing. And remember,
that from that place in Rome, from that Roman jail, from that house, wherever it was in Rome, came out the epistle to the Ephesians, the epistle to the Philippians, the epistle to the Colossians, the epistle to Philemon.